Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. Gordon Whitmire covers the Chicago Cubs for the Chicago Sun-Times. Good morning, Gordon. How are you?
Morning, Gordon.
Good morning. Doing great. How are you guys?
Oh, it's a joyous and wondrous time in the fine city of Chicago, and boy, help me out here, Gordon, because I was under the impression that the Cubs were a second-half team, that what they did was win late and win often, and they were a team that always kind of stacks together wins, the winningest second-half team in baseball since Joe won in the second half in Tampa. And now I'm just glancing at the record just for snorts and giggles, and they're 11-10 since the All-Star break, and they've lost a couple games to San Diego, and obviously they lost a game badly to Kansas City. And, you know, you can't win them all, and two out of three ain't bad, as Joe tells us, but, boy, they really need to load up on some of these teams because you just want to maintain the advantage that you have.
Yeah, you just took my whole answer.
What's going wrong?
This is the same thing we've been talking about since April. This is entirely a function, well, not entirely, but it's probably about 80% a function of your starting pitching. It hasn't been there, and it's been there. It hasn't been there to an even greater degree, if you can follow me on that, in the last month or so. And a lot of that is, look at it this way. John Lester skews the numbers. Both directions. For the first 3 months of the year, he skewed the numbers better. They, you know, kind of lifted the rotation's overall numbers a little bit. But he's struggled lately, and as he struggled, it's really begun to show all the problems with that starting rotation. Now that said, they got six innings at least from each of the last turns in the rotation. So that hadn't happened in quite a while. So if Cole Hamels can keep it up and if Hendricks is what he seems to be in recent starts, they can cover for Lester as he tries to get his feet back under him. But it's really been the story of the entire season is that starting rotation. It was there for the last 3 years consistently and strongly, and it just hasn't been this year.
Gordon, based on what you know, based on your experience of the following three guys, rank them in order of what you expect them to, how much you could expect them to contribute in September or maybe even later this month down the stretch. Darvish, Bryant, Morrow.
Bryant would be number one just because the injury is, they're taking it really, really slow with him, but it's that left shoulder. It's a little more predictable. Once he's back, I think even if it begins acting up, he'll play through it. And even when he was playing through it with pain, he was still reaching base a lot and giving you some production. The other two guys, I have no idea. Morrow's been on the DL twice already with two different injuries. It took him a couple weeks before he even began to play catch. And he's only still doing that now. So when he gets back, whenever that is, I have no idea what to expect or whether something else will come up. And then Darvish, rolled dice. we just don't know. I mean, he looked great even at times that he said he was hurt. And I'm not saying he's not, but sometimes a guy has to feel like really good, like almost perfect to feel like he can perform. And you wonder about that because he had command and velocity and was able to throw his pitches at a time when he wasn't supposedly feeling his best or even well. Now he says he's great. So we'll see. And then, you know, it'd be fun watching him touch base with A-Rod on Sunday.
What when you look at the various pitching performances, we got a lot of people down on Quintana, obviously, after last night, and yet you start looking at the numbers, inside the numbers a little, and you think about the payroll, and the guy's making $8.85 million this year, whereas you have a guy coming into that game that's making $12.5 million and not doing very well, and you got another guy making $21 million or averaging $21 million over 6 years, not available. So, you know, part of the Q thing was that it allowed you to go spend money on other guys, and you're not getting anything from the other guys, even if you're not getting anything from him.
Right. There's two things that stand out to me with all these complaints about Quintana. And one of them is he hasn't been terrible. I mean, he's had three or four really bad starts. And I don't count last night's among them because it was a 2-0 game into the seventh. And, you know, the pushing his pitch counts a little bit and trying to get more out of him. And he gives up a 3-run homer. Boom, it looks like a bad start. But go back and look at his day-by-days and look at how many zeros and ones he's put up. He's actually pitched very well in a lot of starts. So there's that. I mean, he was never expected to be the front of the rotation guy for this group. If he's a middle of the rotation guy, he's doing his job, and that's about what he is. And the other part about it is everybody wants to take back that trade, but or call it a trade of no value for the Cubs because of everything that Jimenez is doing and Dylan Cease is doing. But this team has needed pitching from the outside since the day Theo Epstein took over, and it continues to be the case. They don't have one homegrown guy that's made any contribution to this group. Basically, since Samardzija got traded away. So that you look at up and down that pitching roster, and a guy like Quintana was desperately needed. He's under club control. What he's getting paid is a relative bargain for what he is. So as much as they gave up for him, they had to give it up. And the other thing is neither one of those guys has played in the big leagues yet, so as great as they look and as great as we think they're going to be, we don't know that. So even if they turn out great, this was a deal that had to be made. They needed the pitching that bad, and this guy is essentially delivering.
Gordon, you referenced how the Cubs have gotten away from the all-fields approach that they used to kind of surge into first place, and I think that it's a point well taken. And then when you look at specifically Ian Happ and Addison Russell, who seem to be struggling, is that part of the same problem, and is it all related, and how do they get back to that? Is it just a matter of focus?
Yeah, there's two things at play with that. One is it's still a very young lineup, and so that's going to come and go with a lot of these guys, and Happ is a classic example. And the other thing is so a lot of it's a function of the pitching that you might see on a given night. You know, when they've faced the better pitching or pitchers that they're not familiar with, like last night, they've tended not to do well, look bad, no matter what their approach is. So I think over time, you know, if you see kind of an average or sort of an evening out of that approach, that's what you're hoping for. That's what you're looking for. But, you know, you're not going to see that every night.
It's really, you know, again, I think as we talk about this team, it's so much of this is just kind of holding on, taking days off the calendar. They're still, you know, if they're 1.5 up right now. If Milwaukee wins, it's down to a game going into this stretch here. So, I mean, it's almost like as long as they stay up in the standings, you can't complain, you can't say anything. But, again, 11-10 in the second half, that puts a lot of pressure on the end of the season. You got to, you know, if you really think you're going to be better in the second half than the first half, you better get going.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the one way to look at this is, especially again, as the weeks start falling off the calendar, they got less than 8 to go. You're one great week away from putting some serious distance between yourself and the rest of the division. You're one bad week away from being a couple games out and having to play catch up the rest of the way. That's how close this is. That's the way it's been almost all season. And again, to get back to the starting pitching, that's what makes the difference in something like that. Joe said it yesterday. You know, he doesn't see any separation coming anytime soon. He sees this being tight all the way down to the end, and where you're just trying to win a little more than you lose over the course of a week or 2 weeks at a time, and then close it out. That's, to me, he's talking about his starting pitching when he says that, because the only way to get on a roll of any sustained length is to have your starting pitching get on a roll, give you innings and you know, get you deep in a game, giving up, you know, a couple of runs. That's it. That's how they've done it. That's been the formula for 3 years getting to the NLCS. For them to separate like they've done in the second half of the last couple of years, that's what it's going to take, regardless of what those young hitters do.
All righty, Gordon. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Gordon.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
That's Gordon Whitmire covering the Cubs for the Chicago Sun-Times.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.